news I do want to convey. There's never a good way to make announcements like this, but if a few years ago, if you knew the Hansen family, we had Steve and Wendy Hansen that were here, and they had a lot of adopted children. In fact, they ran Mother Hubbard Daycare, which purchased the old church building down at 802 South Gold Street. And I just got word that on Friday, I think it was on Friday, Brother Steve was in a car accident and passed away. So if he hadn't got that news yet, some of you knew him and knew the Hansen family, but reached out to him. And of course, Steve's mom, Lorraine, if you remember during COVID, we were open during COVID. And Lorraine knew that. That was Steve's mom. And so she brought a whole bunch of people from Olympia and said, there is a place that's having church. And it was really the Hansons that ended up bringing quite a few people from Olympia. People just wanted to get together and be able to sing and fellowship and listen to God's word being preached. But we'll be missed. They've been away, moved quite some time ago, but I know he's been back even since I've been down in Florida. Steve has been here and with the kids. But let's pray. Pray for the family. Pray for Wendy. Pray for Steve's mother, Lorraine. Of course, you know, all the children that they had adopted that are living with them, just pray for the family. Pray for the family going through a difficult time, okay? But we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. And I want to look at our verse number 9, verse number 10. We're going to have a word of prayer. I'll give you an introduction. We'll get on the same page. Who remembers Friday? What's coming up Friday? Anybody know? Valentine's Day, all right? So for some of you guys, I just helped you out, all right? You can thank me later. But the Valentine's Day is coming up, okay? Keep that in mind. That's a time to celebrate love. But look at here, we're going to talk about brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 9, Bible says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed ye do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." Interesting. Let's have a word of prayer. God, thank you for an opportunity to come apart, to come away, be still for a moment, to be able to listen to what you would want to teach us today. And then, Lord, help us to apply the scriptures, to think about it, what it would mean to us where we're at. And I know this, that I'm only going to preach one message, but you are capable of taking that one message and then apply it to however you see fit for all the different needs, all the different struggles that go on. Lord, you are capable of doing that. I do want to pray for the Hansen family too, Wendy. This is really her first weekend as a widow now, and all the children without that father in their life. And Lorraine, who is now burying her son. Our hearts go out, our hearts are broken. But God, I pray that you give great comfort. I know you will. God, you are the God of comfort. I thank you that your grace is sufficient when human words are not. And when our actions come short, we thank you, God, you never do come short. So I pray that you'd be that solid rock for them. You'd be their foundation. You'd uphold them and give them a good testimony through this time of sorrow that others may see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, I want you to put on your thinking caps and just think with me. I'm going to read you a letter, and you tell me if this is genuine love or not, okay? Here's the letter. It starts out, "Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie." And P.S., congratulations on winning the Mega Millions lottery. So, you tell me, is this true love or probably not? Probably not. Since it is Valentine's Day, I have some gifts. I wanted to, you don't have to do this, but I have chocolate to win if you want this. Somebody tell me, how did you propose to your spouse, or how did your spouse propose to you? You might be here today without a spouse, but how did you propose? If you tell me the beginning of your love story, where you proposed, I'll toss you a little chocolate heart here, okay? So you tell me, give me some feedback. Are you pointing at Don? Are you volunteering him? Look at, you're even dressed the same today, well, pink and black.
Well, we decided that we would get married, but he didn't actually get on his knees and propose. So when we're at the jewelers, he just picked up the rings. He got on his knees and proposed.
In the jewelry store, huh? Very good. Give him a hand. And they've been happily married ever since. I think, if I remember right, wasn't one of your first dates to go to like church together too? And you came here. And it just didn't go anywhere else after that. So praise the Lord. And somebody else. Somebody else. You got chocolate to win. How did you? Yes.
I grew up in a household of all boys. We did not know romance from nothing.
So I like this already.
I've been dating the same girl in high school. And I asked her, I said, so let's talk about this marriage thing. And she said yes.
Really? In high school? Really? Wow. Fantastic. 51 years, that's worth giving a hand. Very good. Oh, awesome. Very good. Somebody else. Any other takers? I got two chocolates left. Yes.
My husband came home from Vietnam. We had no idea we were going to be dating. But he came home for 3 weeks. In that 3 weeks, he came home, we dated, we got married, and he went back to Vietnam.
Really?
57?
Wow. Fantastic. Very good. Oh, one more chocolate if anybody wants it. I'm going somewhere, with it, by the way. Brother John in the back.
So I want to ask my wife to marry me. We went to our favorite restaurant, and we were kind of in this upstairs area. There was a bunch of people that nobody noticed as I proposed to my wife. And she said yes. And it wasn't really, but it was just funny. It was a big crowd of people out there. No one noticed.
No one saw?
Really?
Should have caught it on camera and everything, huh? So, and she said yes. How long have you been married now?
10 years.
10 years. Fantastic. Mr. Wesley, can you catch this and take this to John? Think you can do it? There you go. I'll throw it to Wesley. There you go. Right over. Maybe. Close. There you go. Fell on the floor. But it's still wrapped. It's good. So you got to listen, got to get some insight on some people you rub shoulders with, you go to church with. I proposed to my wife. At the Golden Gate Bridge, I put the ring inside of a little teddy bear. I gave that to her, and then I pretended to tie my shoe, and I looked up, and she was trying to get the, anyway, long story, but she said yes, and we've been married, it'll be 25 years in May, so we get to hear a little bit of the different love stories, and that's in light of Valentine's Day. The love that the Bible mentions that we just read about is not necessarily the romantic love between a husband and wife, but it is love. It's love the Bible refers to as brotherly love in verse number 9. As touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. If I could give you this idea, the Bible, the Greek words where we translate the word love from, sometimes it's agape love. We get to learn about that every now and then. This is called, the Greek word here is Philadelphia, the city of what? Brotherly love. Now, if you've been to Philadelphia, you know it's everything except that. It is about as far from brotherly love as you can possibly get. It's probably one of the coldest cities I've ever been to in my life. But that's not the way a church should be. Amen? So he's talking here to a church family, brethren, sisters that are here at a church, and he wants brotherly love. That's going to be the topic of discussion today. But he starts off by saying something unusual about this. He says that God's going to be teaching you how to love one another. It's not going to be the preacher. What would be some of the evidence that somebody loves their church family? They love church. What would you look for? How can you tell? How can you tell that you love church? What do you think? What was that? Involvement? Sure. Like being there would probably be a big part of it.
Like,
a big smile on your face. Really? That would be good. I like that. All right. Somebody else. How can you tell? Somebody walks into church and you see it. This guy loves church. That lady, she loves church. What do you think, Brother Don? You're here to worship the Lord. Amen. And since he never changes, I got somebody to worship. Amen. He's always, it's true. I want you to think about this, though. What would it look like? And people see you. Is there evidence that you love church? That you're glad to be in a church family? I could say it this way. Is there evidence that you love the brethren? That's ultimately what he's saying. And he says it this way. He goes, concerning the idea of loving the brethren, you don't even need me to write to you because God teaches you this. This is really interesting to me. I would say it this way. Brotherly love explained. And who's the one explaining it? God. Look at this in verse number 9. This is kind of a unique point to discuss because in essence what Paul is saying here is it doesn't matter what I say, God's the teacher of this. I could say it this way by modern application. It really doesn't matter what I preach. God's the one who's teaching you this. You think I'm going to add or do a better job teaching this than God? No. All right? God's the one teaching this. As touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. You don't need to hear from me. Why? For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. The Bible says the Lord is our teacher in this subject matter. This is a pretty big deal. So I better show up to church and Pastor Tim better teach me something today. I got nothing to add to what God's already teaching you. Because if you're a brother or a sister today, he's already been teaching you this. That's what Paul in essence is saying. This is what he's already working on you about. And so John 16, verse number 13, listen to these words. When the Spirit of truth is come, Jesus says, he will guide you into all truth. Now, the Spirit of truth has come. God, the Holy Spirit, is here. And that he is, then I know he's at work teaching us all things. He's going to lead us in all things. So the Spirit of God is going to use the Word of God to help you do the will of God and become more like the Son of God. That's what the Spirit of God teaches. Jesus would say it this way in John chapter 13. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Now time out for a second. If Jesus stopped right there, it would be really weird because we could go all the way back to Leviticus and find where God says to love one another. And then we could be scratching our head looking at Jesus and saying, I don't think there's really anything new about this. This is like thousands of years old. And now you tell us, you're going to give us a new commandment, love one another. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus says, I'm about to give you a new commandment, love one another. And then he says this, as I have loved you. So it's like he's saying this, you think you know what it is to love one another, but now you've seen me. You've spent time with me. Love people like that. He's elevated. He's lifted the lid on what it is to love the brethren. Wow, this is a new commandment because we've never seen love like this. Unconditional love, forgiving love, gracious love, merciful love. This is what God teaches. Love with no strings attached. You know, God just loves you, period. And we live in a world that loves you if the world around you will love you if you get the job done, if you got the money, if you're popular, if you've got skills to put a basketball through a hoop or football into the end zone. The world will love you if God just loves you, period. It's one thing in light of this commandment, it's one thing to try to love people the way my mom loved me or to love people love me. But God says this, I want you to love people the way Jesus loved you. And I'm telling you, that's a higher level, isn't it? So where are we supposed to apply that love? Oh, I'll love my kids. I will love my kids. That's not where he says to apply it. He says apply it here in the church family. Remember, Paul is the missionary, and Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. So the context where this is unfolding is a local church setting, just like what we got here. And Paul's saying this, I want brotherly love to abound and continue here amongst us. Well, who's going to explain this kind of love to us? He already is. Well, who's going to teach us how to love? He already did. His name is Jesus Christ. Well, I think you ought to explain more. I can't. It's probably one of the easiest messages I've ever had to preach because it says there's nothing else I can add to it. It's what the Bible says. Paul says, I don't even have any, I can't add more because he's already taught you. By this, Jesus says, by this, all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. Let that sink in for a second. How would people know that God's people are God's people. How would they know that? You know it by the love that they have one for another. I heard of a man once, not a man at this church, who quit going to church in part because a man with a beard was nominated to be a deacon. So he quit. I think Jesus had a beard. But anyway, I know of a woman right now, not in this church, who is not going to church anymore because when she was practicing for a song special, one of the singers asked, "Are you sure you're on the right note?" And that was it. She was in a trio. Now the trio's down to a duo. Why? I'm just telling you, we talked a little bit about this even during the Sunday school hour. We can get offended over some of the craziest things. And instead of evidence that we love the brethren, there's actually more evidence that we get offended by the brethren. And we like it. If we got something to complain about at church, does that stroke your ego? What's going on? And when God says, no, that shouldn't be the defining mark of a church, it should be a love for the brethren. Love the brethren. That should be the defining mark. In fact, that's how other people would know that you're my disciples. Love the brethren. Those people sometimes can get lost in bitterness and pride. And only, listen, only the Lord can intervene. What do you mean, only the Lord? I think the pastor ought to go say something. What can the pastor say? He's already teaching. The pastor can't, I can't add anything to what God's already working in your heart about if you are a brother, if you are a sister. I've got nothing more to add than what the Holy Spirit's already working on your heart about. Love the brothers. Love the brethren. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. You don't even need me to preach a sermon about this. Why? Because ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Again, the Bible highlights this idea. When it comes to loving one another, the promptings that you have in your heart to go talk to somebody, to go help somebody, to go encourage somebody, those promptings don't come from your flesh. They don't come from your pastor. Those ideas come from God. The Holy Spirit of God's teaching you. He's leading. He's guiding you. It really just comes down to a matter of, will I listen? Will I obey? So brotherly love explained. God's the one explaining it. God's the one teaching it. Brotherly love exercise. Look at verse number 10. He's writing to the church at Thessalonica. By the way, some of you who are Bible students, pop quiz for you today. The church at Thessalonica, was it a good church or a bad church? Who thinks 1 Thessalonians, good church, solid church? They were, okay? Church at Thessalonica, as opposed to sometimes Paul would write to a church like the church at Corinth. Oh, man, they had some serious problems going on in Corinth. But when he writes to the church at Thessalonica, this is, man, he's got a lot to commend. He's got a lot of attaboys to keep it up, such is the case here. Look very carefully, though. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse number 10. And indeed, ye do it. You do what? You do have love toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. So this is cool. Here's the church at Thessalonica, but they have love for all the brethren. Where? In all of Macedonia. That'd be like the equivalent of saying, man, it's not only genuine that you love that you're exercising toward the brethren here in the church family, but in all of Washington State. Macedonia would be the region around the city, okay? So our equivalency would be like, oh, I mean, all of Washington. I mean, it's evident. You guys, you love everybody in all the state of Washington. By the way, I hope this, while I'm not here every single Sunday, we do have brethren that come in and their wives and their little ones. I sure hope this church knows how to love them too. Well, not even my pastor. He's a brother. She's a sister. I hope that you have a vision. I hope that you have a goal. I love everybody that's coming here to try to be a blessing to us. In the meantime, I know we're going through a transition. I know this isn't the easiest thing that we've all taken on before, but in the end, it'll be worth it, okay? Let's just keep looking to the Lord. But man, love the brethren. Love the brethren, okay? So he says that you're already doing this. This is funny to me because a lot of times we want to talk about or we want to go talk to somebody about what they're not doing. Paul's taking time to write to them about something that they are already doing. You're already loving the brethren, and I'm writing to you about it because you're already doing it. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, We get a little bit of insight about agape love, unconditional love. In fact, turn over here. Let's just do this. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians, and I'll just say verse number 6 and 7 for time's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when most people think about what the Bible has to say about love, I think most people, if they're familiar enough with the New Testament, their minds will be turned to 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, when Paul describes, or I can say this way, when Paul is inspired to describe what love looks like, it's funny to me because he uses action words to describe it. He doesn't really use a lot of adjectives. He uses verbs to describe and define what love is. So like, for instance, in verse number 6, this is what love is. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Do you see how he's using verbs here? What is hope? Hope rejoices, hope bears, hope believes, hope endures. These are verbs that Paul is talking about. It's interesting because when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says, I want you to be mindful of brotherly love, but then he says this, but you're doing it. Just a reminder, love is not something you say or something you think. It's something you do. Love is an action. Love is a verb. If my love for you never leaves my brain and is transferred into some sort of words or actions and deeds, I've not loved you. Does that make sense? I can have thoughts, but if those thoughts don't come out, I've not shown biblical love. And it's like worship. I could have some thoughts in my brain. It's like, so many things in life. Forgiveness. If I don't forgive, if I'm not forgiving, if all those things are just trapped in my brain and I do nothing with what I know to be true, I've come short. So I can have fond thoughts of people. I could have grateful thoughts of people. But until I express gratitude or express thankfulness or express love, I don't have gratitude, thankfulness, or love. These things must be expressed because they are facets of action that are on display, right? So if you could think of it this way, how do you love your wife? We got Valentine's Day coming up. I've already talked a little bit about that. We could ask it this way. What have you done for her? What will you do for her? Well, I know my wife, I know she loves me because I think about her. But does she know you think about her? I've got really good thoughts about my wife. Well, when's the last time you let her know? I'm telling you, we heard some testimonies, people being married 51 years, 57 years. You don't get there by just having good thoughts. Right? Love's got to be shown. Love's got to be on display. I love what Brother Humbert, he said this. He says, don't criticize your wife's faults. It are those faults which kept her from marrying a better man. I thought that was funny myself. Hey, this is the point Paul's trying to make here, this local church. What you do towards fellow believers, how have you shown love for them? Sometimes it's unusual that sometimes we measure love by what we don't do. Of course I love her. I don't cuss at her. Does that make sense? We measure love by what we don't do. Of course I love the brethren. I don't slander and gossip about them. Of course I love them. But love is never measured by what you don't do, at least not in full. I mean, that's good. And I'm glad you don't gossip or slander and do things like that. But what do you do to love the brethren? So then in verse number 11, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse number 11, verse number 10, indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, watch this, that you increase more and more. I'm writing unto you, God's already teaching you this, and I'm thankful that you're already are loving the brethren, but what I want to say is this, I want you to do it more and more, and the idea is this, and more and more and more. When the Bible says I want you to increase, It's a really cool word to me. When you get into word studies, the word study that we have here as increase, the working definition of that is to be super abounding. I don't know when I last time that I used that word. Cheering a team on, playing a basketball game. All right, I want you to be super abounding in your physicalness. Like, get in there, get the ball, super abound when it comes to that. But the idea is you're doing it, keep it up, and super abound in this area of what? Of brotherly love. Please understand, you might be doing it, but there's still room for growth. It doesn't matter where we are, there's still room for growth. And so we may be here today, disillusioned by a church going through transition. We may have reasons like, I don't even know if I really want to be all involved in church. I'm telling you, we'll have no shortage of reasons to not get involved, to not love, to not be engaged. There'll be plenty of reasons. But what God's trying to help us to do is to be able to see His work. What does God want us to be? And as a church family, what I'm leaving you with this weekend, love the brethren. At the church here, and when I ask, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like? There's something, every one of you describes something about a countenance of a person. The countenance. One, just be there. And when you be there with the idea of being a blessing to somebody. And in the Sunday school hour, we're talking about in the book of what the book of Hebrews has to say. Hebrews has to say that when we come to church, we ought to have the spirit of encouragement. To be able to show up, who can I encourage today? Oh man, there's something radical about, there's no more chairs up here. It used to be chairs. I'd sit on those chairs. But when something radical about a person who comes to church, and if I pull up a seat and I listen to a sermon, and all I think about is like, well, what can I learn? What can I glean? What will I be fed? But there's something different about coming and being able to sit and be able to say, okay, now who can I go encourage? Who can I be a blessing to? Who can I help? Who can I meet that I've not met before? I'm telling you, the idea, I've never done that before. That's why God says, I want you to superabound. Grow in that. Identify those places. Well, that makes me uncomfortable. I know. Tell me about it. Trying to get to know people that you look on their face doesn't even make you feel like you can even go over there and say hello, but you do it anyway. Why? Because God's worth it. So I obey the Lord primarily because He's my God. If He's my God, He calls the shots. It's not a measuring stick of, well, or do these people deserve my love? Serious? Do you? what kind of game is that? So the idea of being super abounding when it comes to brotherly love, increase in verse number 10 is to super abound. And so don't measure your love by what you don't do. I could imagine even a conversation. If I were to ask a guy, thankfully, I've never had a conversation that went like this, but I say, hey, do you love your wife? Yes, I love my wife. I eat her cooking, and I'm nice to her mom now. I love my wife. I'm serious. Would you seriously take that in and think to yourselves, wow, this guy's on track for a great marriage? Or would you have red flags? And yet, I'm telling you, this is about what it comes to when it comes to people and their brotherly love. Like, I put up with the sermon that the pastor gives, and I don't cuss at the church people. All right. Like, I'm not sure that's the greatest thing. When it comes to brotherly love, is there ways that we can improve? Is there places that we can grow? Is there conversations that can be had? Is there forgiveness that can be bestowed? Is there a benefit of the doubt that can be extended? I mean, good night. 1 Corinthians 13, a lot of that idea about what love looks like is just give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Don't jump to crazy conclusions and blow up their reputation. Jump into a conclusion. Man, just give people the benefit of the doubt and love them. Talk to them. more and more, be super abounding. Super abounding when it comes to loving the brethren. I was convicted. I was reading through 3 John, that little book of 3 John. You know that very last verse in 3 John? There's no chapters. It's just one little chapter. That very last verse, it says, greet the brethren by name. Greet the brethren by name. One of the things that I try to do back in Florida, getting involved in the church there, just trying to learn people's names, that can be a challenge, isn't it? It can be a challenge. But I've noticed this. It's probably one of the best ways to show somebody that they matter. Learn their names. In other words, this, if I love you, I want to learn your name. I'd like to. I want to. But when I don't care, who cares if I ever learn your name or not? This is what I'm trying to get you to think through. Some of you are here today thinking, I'll never learn anybody's names. Can I just ask you to super abound when it comes to that idea? You've never thought about it, have you? You've always chalked it up to getting old. I don't have a memory for anything like that anymore. Man, you've got so many sports stats in your head. You could probably tell me about the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chiefs. You know different statistics going on there, the new stats for the year, but we can't learn names. Hey, John says this, greet the brethren by name. It's one of the best ways to strive for. Learn somebody's name today that you've not learned before, and then next time you see it, use their name. Know their name. If you forget, just ask somebody, okay? It's a great way to try to be a blessing to other people and be an encouragement to other people. So don't measure love by what you don't do. Super abound. Look for ways to be a blessing. Man, maybe take a brother to lunch. Take a sister out for coffee. Give them a phone call. I can't tell you. There's one man in my life that he calls at some of the strangest times, different times in ministry that I've wanted to quit. And I'll tell my wife, I think this is it. I'm going to quit. And then I get a phone call. It's Dr. Dave Hardy. He calls at the craziest times. And I'm telling you, I'm absolutely convinced he's got some sort of dial-in with God, and God's saying, hey, call Tim. He needs some encouragement, and he does. And I'm thankful, and I wonder to myself, what would have happened if he didn't? What happens when you don't? Those ideas to super abound, follow those promptings. Why? Because it's God who's teaching you. It wasn't the pastor. God's teaching you this. Love the brethren. Love is action. Follow through on what God says. Don't set limits on God. I love this. So Paul, when he writes to writes to the church at Thessalonica, 1 year later, he writes another letter. You want to know what that one's called? Second Thessalonians. So he tells them in 1 Thessalonians, you're loving the brethren, and I want you to be super abounding when it comes. I want you to keep growing in that area. You're doing it. But I think we can just keep on growing in that area. When he writes back in 2 Thessalonians, look at this, 2 Thessalonians, just turn a few pages to the right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 3. We are bound to thank God. This is about 1 year later. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other, what? Aboundeth. Isn't that awesome? This is something God's inspired Paul to write. And he says, I want you, the love that you have for the brother, I want that to abound. 1 year later, it's not just Paul's opinion. The Holy Spirit of God has moved Paul to say this, that charity and the love that they have from their brethren, guess what they've been doing? They've been doing just that. They've been abounding. Now, where do you want to be in your Christian life 1 year from now? Where do you want to be? One year from right now. How about 6 months from right now? Where do you want to be? So don't just listen. Take what God teaches you, those promptings that he puts in your heart, and go do something with them. Be a blessing to somebody. Dig somebody out if you can. Shoot them a text message. Give a call. Write a letter. Send a smoke signal. I don't care. Just go be a blessing. Look for ways to be an encouragement. With the guest speakers that show up, man, be a blessing to them. Get to know them. Learn. Just love. Love the brethren. Well, we're already doing it. Then abound in that. And watch what God does. 6 months from now, 1 year from now? What kind of church is this going to be? A lot of that doesn't boil down to the messages that are preached from this pulpit. A lot of this boils down to, what are you going to do with the things God's already teaching you? Because I guarantee you this. When I talk about the love of God, nobody sits here today saying, man, never heard that term before. Nothing new today. But maybe God's helped you to put his light, his love, like the diamond of God's love, and it has all those different facets and all those different, the way that the light shines through, and it gives the big spectrum of all the different facets of who he is. And maybe you get to look at his love for you and think, wow, this is how I need to love other people. And maybe it's taken on a newness, a freshness. But now it's up to us to go do something, isn't it? I just love the idea that 1 year later, they did something with what God taught them. Let me remind you this as I close. When sometimes God prompts us to love, sometimes, like God, do you understand God? Sometimes he'll push you outside your comfort zone. That's okay, because he's God, okay? And I challenge you on this? Don't set limits on what you will or won't do for God. Why? Because he didn't set limits on his love. When God died for the sins of the world, he didn't say this, I'm going to die for the world, except for that Tim, that low-down sinner. I'm not going to die for him. And when he died on the cross, he didn't say this, I'm going to die for some sins, but some of those sins are pretty big. I'm not going to die for them all. I'm just telling you, God didn't have limits on his love. God didn't say, well, I'm going to forgive him this time, but if he ever comes back with the need for forgiveness for that sin again, off with his head. God didn't say that. God forgives. God didn't say, you know, I'm going to love her because she's got money. God didn't love like that. God didn't love like, hey, that dude can make a basketball go through a hoop. I'm going to love him. He's pretty good. That's not how God loves. It's almost like God loves super abundantly. It's almost like God just super abounds in his love. Wait a minute, I think that's what you were asking us to do. Exactly. And if today we can get a picture of how to become a little bit more like Christ, and we go do something about it, then we've accomplished something as a church, haven't we? Let's get a picture of who he is, of his love. See what that looks like for us and be able to say something like, because of who he is, I think I can grow in some areas. I think I could take this message and apply it in a way maybe can be an encouragement to somebody. Maybe that needs to be your prayer today. Hey, maybe you're here today and you've never experienced that super abundant, abounding love of God. Truth is, if you were to take your last breath today, you don't know where you would spend eternity. And every one of us are going to spend eternity somewhere. We're going to be with him, forgiven in heaven, or we're going to be in a place prepared for the devil and his angels. The Bible says it's a place of hell. It's a place that the flame never dies. And everybody who has rejected Christ, that's where we end up. A place created for the devil and his angels. So today, I would encourage you, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, do so. Because he commendeth his love toward you. And that while you were yet a sinner, he died for you. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. The tomb is still empty. The evidence that Christ lived and died and the tomb is empty, there's more evidence of that than George Washington living. And if people still try to reject and deny Jesus Christ, this is crazy. Man, I'm telling you, God's at work in your heart. If there's somebody here that you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have that peace in your soul, you don't have forgiveness, today, please talk to me about it. If you're a lady, talk to my wife about that. Talk to a friend maybe who brought you to church. Talk to somebody. Get that settled. If you're here and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, is there room to grow? I think there is, isn't there? Yeah. I think there is. And so maybe that's our heart cry today. God, help me grow that area of brotherly love. I want to have a word of prayer. And when I pray, if God has taught you anything, it'd be very appropriate to either come right up here and say, God, thank you for teaching me. Thank you for showing me some things. And this is what I'm going to do about it. You know, I can't come to the front. I can't kneel. Use your seat as a pillow. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. What one thing could you do to show brotherly love? And let's just keep it up. And let's watch what God can do 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 1 year from now. Let's be the church God's called us to be. How about it? Lord, I want to pray that you would take this invitation time. Help us, Lord, to give some application, some thought and intention about what we will do with the truth that you give. You've asked us to grow in this area of brotherly love. And I pray that we would lift any kind of limits that we've set or change the measuring stick that we have. Perhaps we've measured our love by what we don't do. And it needs a change. We need to measure love by what we do. And so in any practical area, when it comes to home, relationships at home, when it comes to relationships at church, God, help us to just rejoice, be glad that you speak. You inspire us. Help us, God, just be obedient more. Praise you. Bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's stand as we wrap up this morning. And if you want to take some time in prayer while the music plays, you come. You do business with God. It says the music plays.